And we are joined here live. Welcome to Katie and Kay, king of rock flamenco, El Javi. Thanks for joining us today, El Javi.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you coming down from Aspen. I understand you're doing two shows up there.
Yeah. My first time in Aspen after playing Basalt a couple months ago. And I got the door open now in Aspen at the St. Regis.
Oh, that's good news.
Yeah.
What do you think of Aspen? Nice town?
Well, I've only seen it at night, but last time when I came to Basalt, we just drive through it just to kind of check it out, and at least it has more character than a place like Vail. It seems kind of more like a resort or something.
Yeah, that's what I like about this valley. It's kind of off the track, so
yeah, totally.
Has a little more.
Yeah, but I, you know, like since the first time that I came was in October, I love this valley. You know, like the people here are such loving people, and I just feel at home. You know, I could move here.
Yeah. How long have you been in Denver now?
3 years.
3 years.
3 years. Yeah, I used to live in LA before. Originally, I'm from Mexico City. I spent like 13 years in LA, and then just life circumstances brought me to Denver.
Right.
And here I am.
Do you like the mountains as opposed to L.A.?
I actually love L.A.
Yeah.
I cannot lie. Probably mostly because of the atmosphere in the music business.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's kind of like what I miss the most, because everybody there is involved in the industry. So that kind of like pushes you towards like ideas and collaborations and whatnot. And I feel like what I've encountered here in Colorado is like things take a little longer and to find the right people.
I think everything does take a little bit longer out here, so it must be hard not to be immersed in the music culture as much.
Yeah. The important thing is that I'm with my daughter, as you know, and I don't need anybody else to inspire me but her anyway, so I'm happy.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's
what it comes from.
Exactly.
That's great. I don't know if you came prepared for or you want to talk about your first song that you'd like to play for us today.
Yeah, well, I figure since I'm promoting my second Gypsy Journey, they're like 3-part EP, the Gypsy Journey Part 2. But before we get into that, I wanted to play a song from the Part 1.
Oh, nice.
But I think it's where this all began. I was living, as I said, in LA, and when my life changed, I decided to travel just to kind of prove myself that I could do this anywhere. So I booked a flight from New York to Berlin just because. I was like, well, I want to go to New York and I want to go to Germany.
Oh, sweet.
And I didn't have any gigs booked. Literally, I just went there to hustle. And I was received amazingly in both places. I ended up finding gigs, selling CDs, making fans that till this day they follow me and... During those travels, I wrote this next song that became the title of the first Gypsy Journey trip. So I would just play it at the canals in Amsterdam, at the park in Braunschweig, Germany, at Central Park in New York, in Santa Barbara, California, because I went up to the West Coast too, and in Mexico City, so many places. And this song kind of captures my journey of like... what it was to struggle, you know, like that hustle when you're alone and you're meeting new people all the time. And, you know, you sometimes ask yourself, why did I do this to myself? So here it is. Yeah, I'll play it for you.
Oh,
guys.
Great. Thank you. Nice, nice, nice. So that was Trip from...
Gypsy Journey Part 1.
Gypsy Journey Part 1.
Yeah.
Wow, that was great. So it's a whole collection. So are you working on number 3 right now?
Yeah, the final part of the trilogy. And it's the craziest one, I think. My percussionist, Jordi Marin from Barcelona, and I, like, he's kind of been my partner in crime throughout this trilogy. And the last part of the trilogy has been, I guess, what would be the big battle, I guess. Like, there's even a song that kind of we've been writing as like a story of kind of like pirates, like, going to a place, you know, like, and that's kind of how we feel, you know, in the music business. It almost feels like that. You're in a constant battle to prove yourself, to establish yourself as an artist, you know, like, to conquer audiences, you know. It's like going into a battle every time you're on stage. And so we're kind of like doing that in a song that is just full of chaos and craziness. And also we want to, like, incorporate other elements. Like, as you know, my music is mostly instrumental. And on the third part, we want to start collaborating with some singers.
Oh, that's exciting.
Like have different singers on each song. You know, I don't want to marry to just one singer, because it tends to... Then that becomes...
That becomes the whole part of the album.
Yeah.
You want it to be just a mix and a good mix of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And so, but I think when you were talking about... I got to see your concert a week ago, and it was awesome in El Jabal. But you started, when you came up, you were doing metal guitar, right?
Yeah.
Heavy metal?
Yeah.
It's so crazy to think that you take such a drastic change from metal to flamenco.
Yeah, like, I guess he was always there because of the influences that I had, like, growing up. Like, a lot of my uncles are heavily into the Spanish culture, you know, like bullfight,
mm-hmm.
Flamenco music, even opera singing and all their stuff, classical music. So it was there. I just buried it for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I got so much into metal. And I don't know if you know metalheads, but when you're a metalhead, that's all you are.
Yeah.
I hated everything else. And maybe I was kind of close-minded to even other music styles until, I guess, I started... experimented with marijuana.
Yeah, it makes sense. Opens your
then,
mind
then,
up.
Yeah, little. Then all of a sudden, like, what is this Pink Floyd? What?
But this was in Mexico City?
No, this was in LA.
In
once,
LA?
Once I was, like, going to school there. And then, yeah, it just started, like, really opening up to the other music. And then I felt in LA, everybody shreds. Everybody, it's a rocker. So I was like, man, I'm just one of the bunch.
So I guess you kind of distinguish a different something special.
Yeah, totally.
Than just to be a part of the rest.
But. Yeah, and even when I mentioned it to my teacher at the Musician Institute in Hollywood, I mentioned him, like, maybe I'm going to start experimenting with flamenco. And he discouraged me.
Oh, really?
Which even helped me even. But yeah, he was like, no, like... You gotta be born there to play it right and da 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 da. I'm like, I'll show you.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It seems like when somebody tells you no, that's something you can't do, it just makes us want to do it even more.
Yeah.
But I see, like, a lot of, like, great metal guitarists are classically trained. So
totally.
It's crazy to, I always see it on the one side, classically trained and then getting into metal. But for you, it seems like you went metal and then went a little more classical, which is really cool because it really shines through your music. You can hear the rock, and that's what I dig about it. It's that feel. It's just, it's a rocking feel. It's great to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I definitely, it's a challenge sometimes, you know, because I get, from some of the bookers in the, like, when I'm finding gigs, when you say flamenco in the title, you know, they immediately picture the flamenco dancer or something very like backup music, you know, in the corner.
A dinner or something.
Yeah, but then I show up rocking out the place, you know, like, can you turn it down? I'm like, no.
No.
Yeah, so... It's, you know, I had to break some paradigms, I guess, like, with what I do.
So on this, on your second album here, El Refugio, which is The Shelter.
Exactly.
What were you going for in this? Is this like Coming to Colorado type of album, or?
Yeah, in a sense, it is. You know, like The Shelter, The Refuge, El Refugio. When I was traveling a lot, like, and I wasn't with my daughter at the time. You know, I went through the whole divorce situation, and it was like a 2-year process where I was coming to Colorado to see her, taking her to Mexico, to LA. You know, it was hard. And then traveling a lot and not seeing her, you know, only have to do Skype, and like it was hard. So when I finally made the decision to come here, and I was in the process already of composing a lot of the songs, that definitely was an inspiration. You know, that was where El Refugio, like to come to that, like to me, her, it's my refuge, you know, my shelter. Because as you know, like in the music industry, it's madness. You know, you're in like nightclubs.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird, you know, it fulfills you a lot, but at the same time, it's very lonely. You know, you play a show and people are praising you, everybody's loving you, and then
they're
high,
gone,
the high is gone. Like, yeah. Then you're solo, and then you're like, whoa, like I miss my family.
Yeah, no, I understand for sure. So the song on the album, Olivia, is for your daughter.
Uh-huh.
So the song, did you come up with the song over time, thinking about your daughter, or was it something that you would play and you were working on something and you were playing it, and then she said, "I really like that," or something? Or was it?
Well, actually, it has gone through an evolution just like her. Like I started writing that song when she was born, and I actually released a version of it in 2009, when I had an album called Flamenco Sketches, and I added a bonus track, which is Olivia. But it was a completely different version of what it is now. So I kind of, as she has grown, the song has grown up too.
Oh, that's really cool.
And so now it has all these instruments and this evolution, just kind of like how she is now. Now she's like this little woman already. And so, you know, as she has grown, her song has done the same thing too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You want to play that one?
Sure. I'll do stripped down version.
Oh, nice.
Because, yeah, like the album version has keyboards, percussions, drums, and all kinds of stuff. But
oh, nice.
It's Olivia. Thank you.
Very nice. That was Olivia from A Gypsy Journey Part 2, El Refugio. From El Javi, live here in studio. It's so great to have you here, man.
Thank you.
I really think that you could come back to Carbondale this summer, and there we have so many great venues, and this town will embrace you.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is a good start today, and you've been playing in El Jebel and in Aspen as well, but it's so exciting. Just new music is just exciting for any of us around here. It's great.
Yeah, no, like finally, because it was a big goal, like since I've been in Denver, I'm like, I gotta come to the mountains, you know, like, and it took 3 years.
Oh, really?
To finally make it here. So yeah, I hope I keep coming back, and that's kind of what I've been hearing, that once this valley adopts you, then like there you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, you're stuck. It's like having in-laws or family, you know, you're just stuck with them.
Yeah. No, but I love the vibe here, and I love the people here, and to me, I don't know, I hope like I don't offend anybody, but like, to me, this is Colorado, you know.
Yeah.
These towns, it's what I find this connection with this state.
Nice. Well, we're going to take a few minutes here and let you know that this is KDNK, and the day's newscast is available online at kdnk.org. We're going to take a few minute break here, let El Javi get some water, chill for a sec, and then we'll be back with more tunes. Thank you for joining us here on KDNK. This song is called Colorado, and we are back here with El Javi in the studio. Thanks again for being here today, El Javi.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rick.
So,
Colorado. Yeah, that that song came when I first moved here. Jordi, my percussionist, and I, we were semi-homeless, and we were living in a rehearsal studio in Stapleton, in kind of like industrial area of Denver, and we're mostly getting drunk to be able to pass out and sleep on the ground with no blankets, no pillow. It was quite the experience, and we played a lot of music during those times, and that song came during that, like just kind of our experience here in Colorado, listening to bluegrass, folk, and there's a fiddle playing, and our ups and downs, kind of like how the mountains are, you know, like it's kind of what life is, and then there's this section, kind of like the drunkenness.
That must have been tough, though. I mean, you're looking for a place to live and a place to practice, and it turns out to be both, and it's just a dark hole, right? That you're.
Yeah, it was tough, like because obviously we didn't even have jobs here. Like we had no, like very little money, and the manager of the studios offered it out of the blue. He was like, "Do you guys have a place to stay?" And we're like, "No, actually, we're homeless." And he was like, "Well, I'm not allowed to do this, but I'll let you guys stay here until you find a place." So. Very dark because there's no windows. I don't know if you've ever been at a rehearsal space lockout. So there's no windows. You never know what time it is. Like all you see is just like a little crack up under the door of the light from the hall.
Oh, man. It's got to be really disoriented.
It is.
And yeah, I guess at the same time, it's like, what else are you going to do but make music with your friend, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's what we did. Hours and hours. And we didn't have anything else to do.
Yeah, but he's not in the States anymore, right?
Well, he's coming back tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had a little immigration issue. Uh-huh. And he got deported in October, but everything, it's okay now, and he's coming back.
That's exciting. Yeah. I bet you're pretty stoked for him.
Yeah. Like, we left a lot of things hanging because of that deportation issue. We were planning on doing music videos for the new album and just keep promoting, and that kind of put everything on hold, which was kind of rough.
So tomorrow you're back
in track,
full steam.
Yeah. But you know, I've lived many things in my life that are kind of negative or traumatic, and I always try to shift that to something positive, you know, like just to at least learn something and grow from it. And this time without him, I got to like work on myself, you know. I guess also sometimes when you're doing your thing or project or your career, you get so involved into that you forget who you are, and sometimes you need that strength to keep moving forward too. And so these past few months I've been developing things about myself. I'm sober now and you know, finding what else I love in life.
Yeah,
instead of just partying all the time and making music.
Well, yeah, you gotta stay focused and achieve your goal and take care of your daughter. It's all good things.
Exactly. Yeah, nice. Yeah. Be a good dad and be a good human.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you want to do another one? What are you thinking? Something old, something new, something.
Well, let's go back in time. Let's do an
great
old one.
Nice. Oh, and for those of you interested, El Javi is playing his second show tonight. He played last night as well at the St. Regis in Aspen.
8 p.m.
8 p.m. tonight. It's a great way to spend a Tuesday.
Actually, 7:30. I ask for a little time change because I know that the storm is coming, and I'm leaving back to Denver tonight so I can avoid getting stuck here.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, 7:30, St. Regis. He will be there performing live. Here's another one from El Javi.
All right, this song is called California. Thank you.
Very nice, very nice. California. And that was from the Gypsy Journey Part 1.
No, that actually was from Self-Portrait. That was the first... Because I have 5 albums, and that was the first one that I included more of a progressive rock feel to it. Like it was a trio, a heavy trio back then. Drums, bass, and guitar. And that's included there.
What do you prefer? Do you prefer... some playing solo, or do you like having more and more artists joining you?
Yeah, depends. Yeah, but I like both. You know, each one of them has their good and their bad. Because when you play with people, then you hope they do a good job too. Yeah. You know, they're prepared and they're connected. They're not drunk or something, and that they're rehearsed. And when you play solo, then it's up to you. You know, and it's very intimate. I like the solo gig sometimes when like the audience is really engaged and it's just you on stage and I get to tell the stories and you know it's very organic.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most captivating things about your show is that, I mean, just like right now, I mean you take the time to explain, you know, where you were at when these songs came about and then you get a really sense of where it comes from and it's so organic
I think it's needed because the nature of my music is instrumental. So yeah. I think at least telling a little bit of the story on how the songs were born, people can connect with it a little bit.
Thanks everybody for joining us today on the show with this special live performance from El Javi. And shout out to Barbara and Carolyn for both calling in and loving the music. Sorry I couldn't field your calls myself personally while we had the live performance going on, but a big shout out to those two. And don't forget, this tonight is your last night to catch El Javi at St. Regis in Aspen.
At 7:30.
Thank you. it's just been so much fun talking to you. I really enjoy the musical journey that we've been taking here today. It's such a pleasure. Is there anything else that you wanna do live?
Maybe as I'm hearing this song, I just wanted to talk about what happened a few months back. Coors Light approached me, and they were looking for a Latino artist to represent Denver. Uh-huh. And they picked this song. Well, together we picked this song to be the song to be part of the campaign.
Okay.
And this song actually was like a joke.
Yeah.
At first I didn't want to do it because I use all the cliches of pop flamenco, and I'm like, well, if we're gonna do this, I want to exaggerate on the arrangements. So. You can hear on the background, there's like cajon, percussions. Even Jordi did like a little back of vocals.
A little boop.
Yeah,
boop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I just went all out. A bunch of guitars. There's like 4 guitars. And then as the song evolves, then there's a sax solo coming up. And you know, I just wanted to have fun.
Uh-huh.
And it actually came out pretty cool. Like when I hear it now, I'm like, nice.
Yeah, I dig it. I dig it a lot. Yeah. It kind of goes, flows, and comes in all sorts of different directions, but it's so clean, so nice. And the opening track on this album, Recuerdo a Paco. This a tribute to Paco de Lucía, right?
Correct. Yeah. Obviously, he's been a huge influence in my journey with the flamenco guitar. And I got to meet him after one of his concerts in Mexico City in 2013. I was like a, how you call them, like a groupie, you know, chasing him into the hotel type of thing. And I waited for him to arrive after the concert at the hotel and got to give him one of my albums, the self-portrait one that we were talking about earlier. And thank him, you know, like, maestro, thank you so much for your inspiration, thanks for everything that you've done to my life, you know. Obviously he doesn't know me, but just his music does that. And gave him a CD and I was like, this is thanks to you. And during that, there was a music festival in Mexico. There was all these bands outside of, and I got to talk to one of the managers of one of the bands, and he came out. I was like, could you mind taking a picture with me and this guy? They don't even know who Paco de Lucía was.
No.
And so I took the picture, and then he passed away like 3 months later in Mexico, in Cozumel. And that was actually the day he died. I was about to take a trip to go live in Cabo. We had a season, Jordi and I, living there. And it was such a life-changing experience. Like, it was odd, you know, to know that he was dead. So I started, like, learning one of his songs, and then I used that as an inspiration for that track, the first track on the album, Recuerda Paco. I kind of used that form and his composition to shape my song for him.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so I used all the flamenco elements, but then the second half, I rock it out. You know, the drums come in, the bass come in, and it gets a little crazier.
Yeah, you put your stamp on it, just like that sweet little guitar, electric guitar we just heard on this song.
Yeah.
I dig that a lot.
Yeah, I was like, well, it's just goal. As I said, I just wanted to be ridiculous. So I was like a metal, rockish guitar solo and a funk guitar behind it. Yeah.
That's what's great about, I guess, getting in the studio and getting around some of your good friends and musicians, is like, you just try something out, you layer it as much as you want or as little as you want, right?
Yeah, and that album was, it's definitely a collaboration. Collaborative.
Oh, collaborative, yeah. Sorry.
Product.
Yeah.
I use a lot of friends from Mexico, people in Denver too, Roger Harmon on the upright bass, my friend Lucas in keyboard, he's from Argentina, he lives in Mexico City. Ricardo on the bass too, from Mexico, because I wanted like a Latin feel on the bass. And then I did a lot of the guitars. Who else we had? Like this girl that plays in Atomga. I can't remember her name right now.
Oh, I just heard of Atomga. They're Atomga.
Yeah. They play kind of like Afro funk type of thing. So she played the trumpet in one of the tracks. Carrie Page on the sax on that tune. You know, so it was just kind of cool to bring all these, like everybody, different backgrounds completely. Everybody plays other styles. So just to bring that element into my music, to shape it and give it that flavor, was interesting. And
how do you find everybody? Is it just you hang out the same place, the same studio, or
yeah, some of them
doing gigs together and stuff, and then
like the Atom guy, I saw them play, so I was like, cool, like I need brass, and there are like four of them playing like saxes and all kinds of stuff. So I was like, cool, I scouted her like that. And another guy, Josh Lee, that played the violin or the fiddle in Colorado, I met him at a bar in my drinking days. He had his violin, and I was like, could you play for me? And literally, I met him like almost a year before tracking him, and I had his phone number in my phone. I'm like, let's check. I remember meeting this guy in one night. And he did it in one sitting. Like, he came and just recorded
a year
it
later, and after never contacting.
Yeah, and he never heard from me until a year later. And then the bass, for example, the Latin bass, I posted on Facebook to all my Mexican friends. I'm like, I'm looking for a Latin bass player, jazz influence with Jaco Pastorius type of touch. And I got like all these names. So I started kind of doing auditions online. They will send me their YouTube videos of their playing and whatnot. And then this guy kind of was the most rounded bass player for what I was looking for.
Now, while you're traveling, you bring a bass player and percussionist, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Roger, he's been playing with us for the past couple of years, and he's the only one that has there really to learn all this music.
Uh-huh.
Because it takes a lot of work, you know. And actually, when Jordi got deported, I had to find another drummer.
That's tough, right?
Yeah, and I had to simplify it a lot for him. So we ended up playing a lot of covers.
Oh, okay.
Because like the original music, it's so complex and it's full of changes and time signature. So yeah.
So I need to see you again when Jordi comes back.
Yeah.
It's totally different, right?
Completely.
Ah, I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've been playing together for almost 6 years or so. So it's like he knows, like if I do a certain thing, he follows me, and I also same thing. Like we don't even have to see each other, and we just
That's nice.
Yeah, compliment each other.
How exciting the tomorrow's and the weeks to come are gonna be for you guys.
Yeah, the reunion. Now I need to book shows, though.
Yeah. There you go. Something else you want to play for us? Anything in particular?
Well, maybe I can do the Paco song, the Recuerda Paco.
Great.
I just had to retune.
Yeah, no problem. And how else can we see what's going on with you? Eljavi.com, is that
right? Yeah, Eljavi.com is like the best portal, the website. And then on all the social media, it's under Eljavi Music.
Yeah.
So I have YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all as Eljavi Music.
Oh, great. And once again, thank you all for joining us here on a gloomy Tuesday on the Flow Diggity. I'm your host, DJ Ridiculous. Sitting in here is Eljavi, giving us some great flamenco music. And we got another live song here in the studio. What do we got here?
Well, I'm going to do the song for Paco de Lucía, Recuerda Paco.
Nice. Thank you. another track. I think we've almost covered
everything in my life.
I feel like I've known you forever now.
Yeah, and everybody that is listening.
Oh man, Ubud, it's so great to have you, and it's like, yeah, the feeling I get is just you're so grounded, and we're just lucky to have you over on this side. You gotta come by more often.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
This summer, we gotta get you into something around here, man.
Yeah, please.
We have great festivals and music in the park and stuff. So
yeah,
it'd be good for you to keep in touch on this side. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and don't forget about tonight, everybody. We got another great show from El Javi starting at 7:30, because he's got to get back before the big storm, right?
Yep. With my 2001 Chevy Cavalier.
Yeah, it doesn't
non-snow tires. Right.
You might be in trouble on that. You might have to get some chains on the way out. I hope not, though.
I think it will be fine.
You leave early tomorrow morning?
No, I'm leaving tonight.
Oh, you're crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think the snow's gonna be too bad until later. So
yeah, I think so.
Well, anyway, tonight St. Regis, you can catch El Javi at 7:30, doing what he does best, telling stories with his guitar and playing rock flamenco. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Rick.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.